Welcome to Respect Life Radio. My name is Deacon Jeff Bennett with Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Denver. And remember, you can listen to all of our shows at respectliferadio.com. Today, our guest is Father Tim Gallagher. He's been with us a couple different times. He has a new book out. But as a reminder, Father Tim is an oblate of the Virgin Mary. He's actually based in Denver. He's the author of several books on theology and also on the spirituality of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Father, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, very happy to be here and once more.
So your latest book, The Struggles in the Spiritual Life, published by Sophia Institute Press, is really, I think, extremely timely because I hear more and more people struggling with what's going on in the world and maybe struggling with their faith life as well. But maybe we can start off by defining the difference between spiritual and non-spiritual desolation.
All right, that takes us immediately into the teaching of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And he speaks about both spiritual consolation and spiritual desolation. They're heart-level terms. So spiritual consolation is when our hearts feel a sense of joy in the spiritual life, a sense of God's love, of God's closeness. We have energy for spiritual things. And spiritual desolation is exactly the opposite. And this is a tactic of the evil spirit, if you want. It's the classic triad, you know, Satan and his associated fallen angels, the world and the flesh. And his most common word is the enemy, so I'll use that. And this is a tactic of the enemy to discourage dedicated Catholics and Christians. And so in this case, then, there's a heaviness of heart, a lack of energy for spiritual things, maybe no or less desire for prayer. All the energy for new steps in the spiritual life seems to wane. And you know, Deacon, as you were saying, that this is very real today in all times. You can look at the writings of any saint and it's there. But today there are many obvious reasons for discouragement, which is a vulnerability to this tactic of the enemy to get just discouraged about our spiritual lives and what lies ahead and so forth. And so this teaching of St. Ignatius is incredibly uplifting. I've been teaching it now for 35 years and have written, as you said, a number of books on it. And I love doing it because what it does is to enter into that area of discouragement in the spiritual life, bring clarity, and especially show us, give us tools to know how to reject it, be unharmed by it, and go forward in hope and freedom. All right, non-spiritual desolation is a discouragement simply. Non-spiritual doesn't mean bad. It just means that it's on the natural human level. So if something disappointing happens and I feel kind of discouraged, maybe a little depressed, it's a normal experience. That's a non-spiritual desolation. If I work too hard and don't get enough sleep, and for physical reasons there's a heaviness in my life, that again is a non-spiritual desolation. Now, Ignatius' teaching is all on the spiritual level, but that doesn't mean that non-spiritual desolation has no importance for the spiritual life. It obviously does, because if we're feeling a little depressed or worn out, there's a vulnerability there for the enemy to also bring the spiritual desolation. So that's a rapid summary of a lot. I hope that's helpful.
Well, I think it is, because I think it's easy to get things kind of confused, but you know, I mean, to your point, right? The enemy is constantly tempting us, and and we need to understand and actually be prepared for that, don't we? I mean, because he's not going to stop tempting us, and the Lord allows that temptation to hopefully help us grow in our spiritual life. But we shouldn't go through life pretending that the evil one either doesn't exist or he's going to leave me alone, because that temptation is constant throughout our lives, isn't it?
I'd say, I'll just quote something that C.S. Lewis says at the beginning of his book, The Screwtape Letters, which is well worth reading, that there are two excesses to avoid. One is to ignore the enemy, and the other is to get too focused on the enemy, because both the enemy and what Ignatius calls the good spirit, which is obviously God himself as he works in our hearts, the good angels, the work of grace within us as a fruit of baptism, good influences around us. Both the good spirit and the enemy are real influences, but they're not equal. The enemy is certainly of a higher order than we, but no more than a fallen creature. Whereas the good spirit is the infinite, eternal, omnipotent, endlessly loving God. And again, that's why this teaching of St. Ignatius fosters such hope. And now I've said enough so that I've forgotten your original question, Deacon, if you could tell me what that was again.
Well, no, I think, you know, and I think you were on it. I mean, it's just a reminder that the evil one, you emphasizing that, you know, he's not equal to God in any form or fashion, but he does exist, and we should be prepared for temptation because God allows that to help us increase. We shouldn't be afraid of that, though, should we?
Yes, and that's what I wanted to say. The enemy actually has two what I'd call garden variety tactics. Garden variety doesn't mean that they're not potentially very harmful if we give into them, but it just means that there's nothing dramatic about them. It's what goes on in the daily spiritual life. And in that sense, it's obviously very important because almost all of the spiritual life is lived precisely on that daily level. One is as temptation, as he mentions. And so that's the deceptive suggestions which urge us towards what is sinful. But the second is the spiritual desolation, with which we're less familiar, I'd say, unless we know the teaching of St. Ignatius. And that is that the enemy is not always going to try to simply move us toward obvious sin. But sometimes what the enemy will do, and these are it's all of us certainly, but dedicated followers, people who love the Lord will experience this. The other tactic is simply to bring discouragement. And with the discouragement, a mixture of lies. So let's say someone is praying and the prayer is dry and empty. This is a faithful person who has a regular daily life of prayer. But today it's dry and maybe it's been difficult for the last week or so. And this is where the enemy will attempt to bring the spiritual desolation, just the sense of discouragement and thoughts like these. You really don't pray very well. Don't ever think you're ever really going to be much of a man or woman of prayer, and et cetera. Deacon, I've been teaching this for 35 years. I've never had one person say to me, "I don't know what you're talking about." That's why the teaching is so important. And there's no shame in experiencing these tactics of the enemy, whether it's temptation or spiritual desolation. What matters, and this is what Ignatius is doing, is that we be aware of these tactics, understand them, and know what to do in responding to them. And then so much changes in the spiritual life.
And I think, you know, you did what I really appreciated, you know, because I have all your books, as I mentioned earlier. And lent them out, and people love reading them. But you actually include the 14 rules in this book, so you don't have to go to one of your other books to remind us of just kind of how this plays out. And I think, you know, it's an important reminder. You know, I know rule 5 about never making a change in your spiritual life when these struggles hit, because that's exactly what the evil one's trying to do, isn't it?
Yes, I'm glad you focus on that, Deacon. That's Ignatius' classic Rule 5, which very simply says, when you are in spiritual desolation, don't make any change to anything that you had planned or had in place in your spiritual life before the desolation began. So he says it very succinctly, in time of desolation, never make a change. So let's say here's a woman who has it on her calendar to go to confession at 4 p.m. on Saturday. And it's her regular rhythm of going to confession. But then, I don't know, we'll say 3 days earlier, she has a difficult conversation with her college-age teenage daughter, and it doesn't resolve well. And it touches a tension that kind of weighs upon her. And let's say at work, something doesn't go entirely well. So what I'm describing in terms of what we said earlier is a non-spiritual vulnerability now. She's just kind of discouraged. And then she gets to Saturday morning and she thinks about going to confession at 4 p.m. and something in her says, I don't know, maybe I'm just not in the best condition to go do that. Maybe I'll let it go till next week. All right, that's exactly what Ignatius is talking about. In time of spiritual desolation, Don't ever make those changes. And if she does go to confession at 4 p.m., very likely that will be the end of the desolation. So, of course, the enemy doesn't want us to keep those things. Or someone who planned to go on a retreat, or someone who goes to daily mass, or someone who reads daily from scripture, or the liturgy, prays the liturgy of the hours. In any of these things, don't make any changes to those things when you're in the discouragement of spiritual desolation. That's Ignatius' classic rule. I wish everybody in the church knew that rule. And, you know, I can't tell you how grateful in my own life I am for that rule. How many bad decisions I have not made because of Rule 5. People love it.
Well, and the interesting thing, right, every fiber in your body is telling you to do this, right? And that's where your intellect and your knowledge of, you know, drawing closer to the Lord, knowing these exercises, especially in a period of consolation, that you can kind of bolster yourself so that when every fiber in your body is telling you not to do something, you know you must do it, right?
Well, if you know you're in spiritual desolation and you know that you'd planned to do something in your spiritual life before that desolation began, then on the spiritual level, you have all the clarity to know that you should be faithful, make the retreat as you planned, make that time of prayer in the morning as you planned, read the scripture, pray evening prayer from the liturgy of the hours, whatever it is, exactly as you had planned. And yeah, that's that rule, that single rule can make a huge difference in people's lives.
You know, I like the way you set the book up, and I know you've done it before, where you actually, I'm sure it's, you know, based on things you've experienced, but you have somebody who's, you know, sent in an email, who's journaling, and you kind of feel where they are, and you feel the slide down, and then they go to seek help. And at the end, you give a remedy, you know, how can people go, you know, deal with what they're dealing with. So have you found that that really resonates with people to kind of use those almost real life examples to help them understand that, hey, you're not alone?
Yes, it does all of that. The reason why I use those examples, which, as you say, the characters I mentioned are not people that I've known by that name, but they represent common experience in the spiritual life. So in that sense, they're very real. And what it does is it brings the teaching out of the abstract and puts it in touch with concrete experience of every day. And that's when people can say, oh yeah, I've been there too. And then in the second part of the chapter, after giving the example in the light of St. Ignatius or John of the Cross or just the church's wisdom, you show the remedy. So the title of the book is Struggles in the Spiritual Life. We all have them. But the subtitle is Their Nature and Their Remedies. So as I say in the preface, this book is not primarily about struggles. It is about them, but it is above all about the way to freedom from them, which is beautiful.
Well, and again, we should all expect this. And you do mention saints. I know you talk about Mother Teresa and, you know, applying, you know, the dark night of the soul of St. John of the Cross. So it really is, it almost is a badge of honor when you read about what the saints went through, because it means we're heading in the right direction. Either that or the evil one, the enemy, wouldn't be trying to pursue us as much, would he?
You know, that's such a beautiful and important thought, and I love sharing that with people. When people come maybe discouraged because of struggles in the spiritual life, you can point out exactly what you've said, that if you're experiencing those struggles, it's really a good sign. It means that you're moving in the right direction, you're living your spiritual life well, and precisely because of that, the enemy is trying to discourage you. So yes, that's a really heartening thought, and it's true. Of course, Jesus told us, you know, that if we would be his disciple, the daily cross would be a part of it, not alone, you know, following him. And Paul tells us that, you know, through many trials, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. One of the authors writes a lovely sentence in which he says, without spiritual desolation, we would remain spiritual children. You know, there's a kind of growth, and we can all look back over our lives. And sometimes it's precisely the dark, discouraging times that have led us to take the most beneficial steps in our spiritual lives. And that, this is Ignatius Rule 9 now. That's why Ignatius why God allows them. You know, Deacon, at some point, so I'll say it now if I may, I would really, I am more than invite, plea, and beg anyone listening to this conversation, if you don't know Ignatius' 14 rules, learn them. And you will be very, very grateful that you did. This book is one way to get access to them because they're all mentioned in the book. And as you indicated, there's a summary of them in the book. Of course, I've done other books on them too, but and podcasts. But please learn them because they make such an enormous difference in the spiritual life. They're short, they're clear, they're usable. They bring clarity into confused spiritual experience, and they point the way forward. What I always hear from people is, once they've learned them, I wish I'd known this 30, 40, 10 years ago. And once they've learned them, you just say, I can't conceive of living the spiritual life without them. They're a real treasure.
They really are. And I can't echo that more strongly, that people should know that, because it does remind us, right? The evil one likes to make us think, you know, we're the only ones who've gone through this, that, you know, it's all about us and, you know, no one would understand. And when you read those rules, it does really make you realize there's nothing new under the sun. As you mentioned, the enemy has the same tactics that he's been using since, you know, he's been cast down. And so it is a really level of comfort to realize, hey, I am not the only one. And yes, there are remedies for what he's doing.
You know, you go to the doctor and for your checkup, he pokes, thumps, takes blood and so forth. And at the end, he says, everything's normal and you feel great. You know, if you have these ups and downs in the spiritual life, you know, times of spiritual consolation when there's energy, and then times of spiritual desolation when we're discouraged and so forth, it's absolutely normal in the spiritual life. And it's everyone. Read Therese's Story of a Soul, for example, or Ignatius' Spiritual Diary, or any of the saints. It's always there. And that's why... when I present this, I'll say over and over and over again, there is no shame in experiencing, whether it's the temptations or the spiritual desolations of the enemy. That's simply what happens when we live the spiritual life in a fallen, yes, fallen, but redeemed and loved world. What matters, and that's what Ignatius is doing with unparalleled efficacy, is, is to understand these tactics of the enemy, recognize them when they're there, and then know how to respond to them. Ignatius is not the only one in the church's tradition who has described this kind of daily spiritual experience. But as he does with so many things, what he does is to express it in such a clear and usable way that he really comes to the fore, and we speak of it as Ignatian, but it's really just the church's age-old wisdom, but expressed so usably that people turn to it, you know, in a special way.
Well, and again, I think the clarity is definitely there. And when you read the exercises, you know, you don't need to be a theologian to figure out what he's saying. And it is very basic. And I appreciate the way you present it, because it makes sense. And two, again, like I said, it makes you realize that you're not the only one going through this. I do wonder, you know, there are people who kind of live on the emotional roller coaster, right? When things are great, they're the greatest thing in the world. And when things are bad, it could, you know, the world's coming to an end. How does kind of keeping our emotions in check and letting our intellect rule keep us from those high peaks and low valleys so that we're not swinging all over the place? Do you find that people that live kind of, you know, by emotion tend to struggle more when they hit that desolation because it's all about feelings?
You know, I kind of need to think with you on that. I'd say that to have a rich emotional life is not at all, I'd say, a liability, but a richness. You know, mm-hmm. to be able to feel things deeply, whether it be joy or sorrow. But what's very important is exactly what Ignatius is doing, and that is the ability to discern what's going on, to be aware of those as they relate to the spiritual life and our relationship with God, to understand what we should accept and open our hearts to in that, God's spiritual consolations, the lights and inspirations that come with that, and then to be equipped also to recognize, understand, name, and reject the more discouraging side of that, which is the enemy's spiritual desolation. So I'd say the emotional life in itself is a blessing, but it needs to be discerned. And that's so we neither simply give free rein to emotion nor try to marginalize it. Neither of those are lead to very good places. But what we do is what Ignatius suggests, we discern it. And then we receive the blessing of the joyful times, and we are not harmed by the more discouraging times.
Well, and in the joyful times, right, we're encouraged to bolster ourselves and prepare, because we know the joyful times aren't going to last forever, right? It is an ebb and flow throughout our lives. So the more we can prepare and not pretend desolation doesn't exist when we're in consolation, right, the better prepared we will be when those attacks from the enemy come, right?
What you've just described is Ignatius Rule 10, which says exactly that. In time of consolation, receive the gift, rejoice in the gift, be strengthened by it, but be serenely aware that eventually spiritual desolation will return. That's just normal in the spiritual life. And take in strength, prepare for it, so that when it does come, it doesn't knock us, let's say, for a spiritual loop in the same way. But we're prepared for it. It's not easy, it's not pleasant, but we get through it so much more quickly and so much more easily. Yeah, that's a wonderful spiritual principle. Just prepare ahead of time in time of spiritual consolation. You know, what happens as we're speaking here, we're really just covering the ground that Ignatius covers. In our previous exchange, we just really, it was his Rule 11, you know, be humble in consolation, be trusting in desolation. And that's how we navigate the ups and downs.
Well, and, you know, going through the book, you talk about feeling sad, alone, dryness. You hit a lot of these topics that we're all going to experience at one time or another. So it really is a good example of the multitude of things that we may or will deal with throughout our lifetime. So I think, again, you give examples, you give the remedies for it. So I really do encourage people to go and get this book. And look, even if it's not applying to you today, I'm sure someone in your family or someone you know is struggling and may not even be bringing it up to you. So the more we know about this, right, we can kind of discern someone struggling if we understand these rules and maybe be better apt to help them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you touched on another part of the book. What happened was the editor approached me and asked me if I would write a book that would go through the various struggles we can have in the spiritual life, identify them, and provide the remedies for them. And that's what the book does. And there's another part in it you've just touched on. Different people may say my prayer is dry and not really know what's going on or what the remedy is. And so in that part of the book, we go through, I think it's 8 different things that are 8 different reasons why a person's prayer may be dry and what the remedy is for that. So, yeah, that's the purpose of the book is we start with the most basic struggles, which are I'm just so tired, you know, that I can't really pray very well or I'm feeling discouraged. So that's the non-spiritual level of struggles. And so we need to maybe just as simple as get more sleep or deal with a discouraging situation. And then through the 12 different forms of spiritual desolation that Ignatius names in his rules, that's what we've been talking about, 8 different reasons why prayer may be dry. And then finally, at the far end of the spectrum, the 2 dark nights that John of the Cross describes. So you get kind of a total spectrum of struggles. My guess would be, Deacon, I doubt there's anybody who would read through the book and not find him or herself somewhere in the book, which actually, as I said, is a good sign. It means that there's growth and that there's an enemy who's trying to discourage the person. Hopefully the book brings clarity in that.
Well, I think it definitely does. And you'd be lucky if you only saw yourself in one. I mean, I'm reading through it thinking, yep, You know, it's almost like checking off a list and realizing that, you know, throughout your life you have these struggles. But to be aware of them, to be able to plan for them. I mean, this book really, along with your other books, I would suggest, because you go in more in depth on this, on the 14 rules of discernment. And one of your, I can't remember the title of the book, but that one is very helpful too, because that really, you put a lot of meat on the bone between for each rule. So when you get to this book, it really does make sense.
Mm-hmm. That book is titled The Discernment of Spirits, an Ignatian Guide to Everyday Living. And I'd also want to mention the I've done many series of podcasts on these materials, which can be found really on any major platform, you know, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and so forth, but are originally found on the Discerning Hearts app, and which is a great app. It's all solid Catholic spiritual formation. And if a person downloads that, taps on spiritual formation, I'll come up, just tap on that, and all of these series of podcasts are there, including a series on the 14 rules, but there are other materials there too.
Well, and I would highly recommend that, because I think people, you know, we need to be well-equipped, forearmed is forewarned is when, or forewarned is forearmed when we approach what's going on in the world today. And it's a tough world out there, right? And if we're not focused on our spiritual life and trying to grow in that, then it's easy to kind of get caught up in the vortex.
You know, God's grace is always there, but spiritual formation makes a big difference. It's as though, for example, you were to play a sport, but no one had ever showed you the rules of the sport. What do you do? And then someone teaches you the rules. Okay, now you're equipped. And that's really what Ignatius is doing in these 14 rules we've talked about. It's like giving you the basic rules or guidelines or understanding of the spiritual life so that you know what's going on and you know how to respond.
Respect Life Radio is produced by Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of Denver. And remember, you can listen to all of our shows at respectliferadio.com.